from the lessons of Ramadan, lessons and destiny. We began the khutbah by praising Allah, the one who has put and grant the destiny for all the creation. And He is the one who turned the night, turned the day over the night, and the night over the day. And He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who appointed a galaxy for the sun, another for the moon, a route that they go on, and in their circulation ages goes on and increase, ages go on and increase and end. So these kind of changes in the universe be a witness of the one who realized of what the person has done in this world, this world life. The person who realizes that before him there is a day, a long day, and waiting in it is going to be long though. In that day, the judgment will be set amongst people. So either they go to the paradise or to the hellfire. I be witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, with no any partners. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting to be the purification of the heart and the purification of the soul and correction of the intentions, and for one to feed himself with the best manner and characters of the believers. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting to be as an envelope of the time in which the climate is free of the enemy that destroys the worships for the worshippers. Verily, it is the month of Ramadan in which Quran was descended as a guidance for people and clarifications for the guidance and distribution between the truth and false. Allah Ta'ala has made fasting during the month of Ramadan as an obligation, and standing for prayer at the time, at the night time of Ramadan, as something preferable. I be witness that Muhammad is slave and messenger of Allah, who sent Allah, His Lord, who sent him to be a warner to all the universe. So He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, conveyed the message of His Lord, and He fasted for 9 Ramadan for that people to follow Him and what He is doing. And He stood for praying at night in the masjid for a couple of nights only, so that it is not be ascribed obligatory abundance, then no one be able to do or fulfill. Jibreel came to him while he was climbing the minbar and said to him, رَضِيْنَ أَنْكُ, meaning the nose of this one, of this person, has been booked in the soil as a way of humiliation. Say Ameen. So the Prophet said Ameen. Then Jibreel told him who he is, this person. He said, the one who is found alive during the month of Ramadan, but he could not take Islamabad to be a cause of forgiveness of his sins. May Allah distance him. Peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, as well as his companions, after words of believers, where Allah never made any legislation, any worship, except that in it there is goodness for the worshipper in this world and in the hereafter. And from these worships, the worship of fasting, and fasting teaches us Allah and Allah. And from these things that fasting teaches us is to be pleased with the destiny, with the decree, with the qadr, by the two types of qadr of destiny. The universal destiny, the universal qadr, where we have two sides, the moon of Ramadan at the beginning and at the end of Ramadan. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to do so, saying, fast, forsaking it, and break the fast, forsaking it. And the crescent, the moon, the newborn moon, fairly it is only a universal destiny, universal qadr, that man can do nothing with it. You only psychic. You don't bring the moon, you don't disappear the moon. This is from the qadr, which is called the universal qadr. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Yaseen, وَالْقَمَرْ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ. And the moon, we have assigned it and places where it appears. حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونَ الْقَدِيمِ. And it continues appearing until it turns back like an old dry branch of a tree. لَالشَّمْسِ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَنْ تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ. The sun should not and cannot catch the moon. وَلَلَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. And the night shall come before day. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. And each of these creations is on a galaxy that Allah Ta'ala signed for it. And from the universal destiny is that Ramadan exists sometimes in the summer, as if this year, and in the summer when it is too hot and long day. And this is from the Qadr Kauni, the universal destiny, that you cannot control. You cannot keep Ramadan always in the winter. But it is Allah who turns it to go around all the seasons for you to know that there are things in this world that you have not control over. And then you be pleased with whatsoever Allah Ta'ala has written for you. And from this destiny, from this type of destiny, of qadr, the universal qadr, is the illness that occurs and catches people and makes them unable to fast. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala did not obligate these people to fast, did not make it obligatory upon them to fast, because this is a destiny that they cannot control, they cannot choose. And Allah Ta'ala permitted one who is ill to break his fasting and make up these days that he broke fasting camp after Ramadan, if his illness he should not fast, but he should feast and eat for each day. And the life for people who reach age that they cannot fast with or in it, as of men and women, even if they are not 10, but if they are too weak because of their age. So they break the fast and just feed and eat before each day. That's all that they need to do. The life with the one, with the woman who is pregnant or breastfeeding, if she feels that she gets weak, because most of her food goes to her baby, either in the womb or as the milk in the breast. Or if she feels that her baby would suffer of less food because of fasting, then these two can break the fast and just feed an easy or a poor person for each day. And from this type of qadr, the universal qadr, is what also catches the woman of the bleeding during the period of menses, or at the time after giving birth. So they have to break their fast, and they cannot fast get rid of their bleeding. And from this kind of exercise, during the whole month, you are exercising this kind of qadr. And the month of fasting, this will teach you, will give you a lesson, how to face the universal destiny in all of your life. Because, and that is us, when you lose someone who you love, when you lose someone who you love by death, for example, or when you lose your wealth, your money, or when you get ill. So you believe that this is a destiny from Allah, and you never be sad. But you'll be pleased with what Allah Ta'ala has written for you. And you'll be pleased with the qadr, with the destiny, and the qada, the decree. Because you were, as the Prophet said, "Man saama Ramadan iman wa ihtisaba." Whoever fasts Ramadan, believing in it as an obligatory worship, and ihtisaba, seeking the reward and help on fasting, seeking the help of fasting, seeking the reward from Allah Ta'ala. And from the lessons of Ramadan that Allah teaches us is the legislated destiny. We have universal destiny and legislated destiny. That is your choice. That is your choice. We say that kind of destiny, that kind of qadr is not your choice. It's not your choice. When the moon appears, when the sun sets, when the dawn comes, when you get ill, when the woman is in menses period, this is not something you choose. This is something Allah Ta'ala chooses for you. Now, here is the time that you need to show your Lord how Isa subhanahu wa ta'ala has written upon you. Remember how we said in the beginning? And the universal destiny, we said, you be patient with what Allah Ta'ala has written upon, has written for you. Has written for you to have. But in this to say, has written upon you to do or not to do. Either to do or not to do. And from this is that you are fast, you fast, not as you choose, but as you are taught, whether on either 29 days or 30 days. So you cannot choose. You will have to do as you are told. You cannot say, okay, the moon of Shawwal appears on the after 29 days. Sorry, after 29 days. So there is no 30 for Ramadan. But I like Ramadan. I love Ramadan. I want to make it 30 days. We say, look, making it 30 days is exactly like making it 28 days, however it is worse. Because as the universal destiny, you have nothing to do with the legislated destiny. You have nothing to ascribe and appoint. You have only to obey. You have only to follow. With your own choice, with your own choice, you have to follow. And from the legislated destiny is the timing of fasting from the dawn to the sunset. You cannot choose, you cannot sin. You cannot say, I want to fast from midnight. Then you are a sinner. You cannot say, I'm strong at Maghrib, I want to extend it until Isha. And then I break fast after Isha. We say, you are a sinner now. You have to follow. But this is not out of your control. The control of it, the control of yourself in regards to it, is given to you. You choose what you do. But not like the first one. The first one, you are not questioned for what happens when the moon appears, when the sun sets, when the dawn sees. You cannot do nothing with them, so you are not questioned for about them. But what you are questioned about is when you see the moon, you have to fall. You cannot be left. When you see the moon of Shawwal, you have to celebrate the Eid and break the fast. You cannot choose. What I mean by cannot choose is not like the first one. The first one, naturally, you cannot choose. But here, willingly, you cannot choose. If you choose other than what is said to you, you are going to be punished. And from this type of destiny of qadr is that you have to fast whenever you are free of all the excuses. And you have to break the fast when there is something that prevents fasting or prohibits fasting. Like when the woman is in menses or in the bleeding period after giving birth. And also when the person is too ill, and fasting may causing more trouble and delay the curing of this illness. And from this type of qadr, we get the exercise in the month of fasting, and we get lessons and know and learn that it is obligated upon us to fulfill all the obligations, all the worships that Allah commanded us to do, and also to avoid all what Allah Ta'ala forbid for us. And we have to come to the worship willingly, submitting ourselves, our cases to Allah, following Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Based all these worships upon ikhlas, sincerity for Allah Ta'ala. And by these two things, submission and sincerity, this one thing, and following the Prophet ﷺ, is by these two things one can guarantee the acceptance of his deed. If you are sincere and you follow the Prophet ﷺ, no doubt that your deed is accepted. But who came down. You need to struggle very hard to be above that. That's something simple. It's not something easy. You say just, okay, I'm going to be sincere and I'll be above the sinner. You have an enemy who never leave you. He's always with you. And he has drained your soul. For that when he is absent in the chains, like now, in the month of Ramadan, the jinn, the shayateen, are chained. So they are not with us. But why do we see the evil? Because during the whole year, they gave us the signs that drained our souls to be enemies. Of us. Enemies. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا رَحِمَ رَبِّهِ. When the soul is commanding you to whatever Allah Ta'ala has made forbidden, except for those whom Allah Ta'ala exalted and selected. So, we have to struggle and from what this month teaches us is patience, struggle, patience. By the three kinds of patience, there are three kinds of patience. One is called patience with the worship. One, patience to stay away from the forbidden actions and sayings, and one is patience with whatsoever painful and harmful destiny that falls on you. So these forces need patience. Today you are fasting, you need patience. In this month, people at least in the Muslim countries, they don't sleep at night because they pray and they recite Quran. So in the morning, they need to go to work, they need to come and pray Jum'ah. So it needs some patience and struggle. Although you feel tired and your soul calls you to go and rest, and sometimes it gives you excuses, your Lord is merciful and forgiving. Just go and rest and ask Him to forgive you. This is what you feel. At least I feel. And I believe that you all feel the same. Even today, when in Ramadan, when the shaitan is chained. So who is whispering? Today, all the sleep are filled with shaitan, they are chained. So who is whispering to us to sleep, not to go for prayer? Who is whispering to us to fight, to surrender, to backfire, to lie, to do all these wrongs? Who is doing that? It's the well-trained soul. The well-trained soul that is between your chest now, which you cannot get rid of. You cannot get rid of your soul. And no one likes to get rid of soul. No one. But this soul sometimes becomes the worst enemy of yours. The worst enemy of yours. Now, so we have to, and this fasting during the month of Ramadan teaches us how to be patient with the worship and how to come to the worship willingly, happy, pleased. But when you come, when you fast, and you don't like fasting, believe me, you are either not benefited, or the benefit you get is very limited, very small. Very small. And that is from the hadith of Rasulullah, which is agreed upon. Where Rasulullah says, "Man saama Ramadan iman wa ihtisaba, ufiya lahu ma taqaddama min dhunubihi," who fasts Ramadan
Save it then. It's not money. It's not money. It's
Jannah, we don't look only to enter the Jannah. We look to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the highest rank of the Jannah. There, we want to be. We don't want just to be in the Jannah, although it's good, but we want to be with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam near Allah. As Asia bint Muzahim asked Allah Ta'ala, saying, "Ibnili indaka baytan, built up by you, built up for me by you a house, nearby you." The ulama says, she chooses the neighbor before the house. She said, "By you a house." She did not say, "Build a house for me by you." She said, "Build for me by you a house." Because the north neighborhood and that front is promising and not superb. You cannot imagine. If you cannot imagine what the lowest man of Jannah is given, how can you imagine what the highest rank is? So we need to work for that. Don't just say, "Oh, khalas, alhamdulillah, I'm praying." La, la, la. Don't do something tomorrow you blame yourself only for. If you are guided to pray, then try yourself to be up on the sunnah of Rasulullah in all of your life. That will elevate you. That will elevate you. So fasting has a fruit, and the fruit is very, very tremendous, very big. So we have to be patient with it. In this world life, you know what is the fruit? You are given the fruit in this world life. You know what it is, that's what? Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam." All you who believe, fasting is made obligatory upon you as it was made obligatory upon the people before you. For what? La'allakum tattaqoon. For that you may fear. And here "may" does not mean could and could not. No. If you fast sincerely upon the way of Rasulullah, I guarantee for you that you will have fear. You will have taqwa. You will have faith. You will have it, no doubt. When Allah promises, nothing can break His promise. It will exist. Allah said He'll give you, He will give you. Believe it, He will give you. So just give some work for it. Just give some more for it. Allah Ta'ala can give you without, but Allah Ta'ala wants you to know how sweet it is. As your child, when he asks you for a sweet or something, you always ask him, "You do this thing, which is a good thing, and I'll give you a sweet." Why? Because you want him to taste it. "Oh, I have done something for it, so you taste it." And for Allah, it has come. But we have to realize its meaning and work for it. Fasting teaches us patience with the sins and disobedience. When the soul calls one of us to go for anything haram, here fasting comes. Didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "من لم يدع قول السوء والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة أن يبي أن يدع طعامه وشرابه"? The one who cannot stop doing the false, witnessing the false, and the one who cannot stop being arrogant in this month, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need for his fasting. It's not in need for him to leave his food and drink. You leave your food and drink.
family, only to purify yourself, not increasing the meaning of Allah. You cannot increase nothing. You cannot decrease nothing. When you take a drop, when you take a drop of water from the sea and drop it back into the sea, you did nothing. You did nothing. That is exactly what you're doing in this world. Whatever you do, you are not increasing nothing in this world. You are not decreasing nothing in this world. Nothing. But you only either benefiting yourself or you're harming yourself. So you have to be careful with that. So fasting should teach us to refrain from any disobedience, any sin, by all the types and kinds of sin. Because during the fasting time, we stop of many things which are lawful originally, permissible originally. And other times, other done, this time, morning till sunset, you are allowed to eat, and eat is permissible. You are allowed to drink, and drinking is permissible. You are allowed to enjoy your family, and that is permissible. But during this time, it is not permissible. It is not permissible. So what does that teach you? It is forbidden now. You have to stay away from it. Then, during the night, you stay from everything forbidden. After Ramadan, you stay away from everything is forbidden, which is forbidden. So when you stop eating, drinking, and enjoying your family during the daytime of Ramadan, how come you do not stop smoking after the sunset? Drinking khamr after the sunset? Smoking what they call it in Yemen, gas, what they show, and it is one type of drug. When you stop enjoying your family, which is permissible, but because of the time, daytime of Ramadan, it is not permissible, so you stay away from it. So how come after sunset or after Ramadan you go back to Zina? How come you go back to the forced enjoyment of women? Whether the zina, by the meaning of sexual intercourse, or by the zina of the limb, the body limb. But even the body limb, practice zina, looking to women, and men and women looking to men in a way of, you know, in a desirable way, this is zina. Listening to women and music and this is zina. Speaking of wrong, this is zina. Holding the wrong, this is zina of the hand. Walking to the wrong, this is zina of the leg. So if you stayed away from what is permissible during the daytime of Ramadan, why are you trying to stay away from what is not permissible during the whole year? Why? What is the benefit of this fasting if it doesn't teach you this lesson? To stay away from haram. To stay away from eating anything haram. By deceiving and cheating. By stealing, by robbing, by riba, by also staying away from lying in the speech, slandering by vice, etc., which is originally forbidden. For you all the time. For you all the time. You stayed away from it. Because of the time of fasting in Ramadan, and you cannot stay away from it in the rest of the year. Fasting in Ramadan teaches us how to be patient with the destiny, as you said. With the destiny of the third type of destiny, which is a painful decree, painful destiny. You can serve, you be patient. You get a no, you be patient. You get a son with a sword, you be patient. You step on a knife or on a glass, broken glass, you be patient. Someone argues you be patient. Your wife and your anger, you be patient. Someone hits your car, you be patient. You lost some money, you be patient. You are ill, you be patient. Whatsoever happens to you from what you don't like, you be patient with. Because this is what Allah has written for you 50,000 years before He created everything here. That's in the present book, in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. You're going to see it, no way, no matter what. You're going to see. You lie, you don't lie, you're going to see. You are pious, you are evil, you are devil, you're going to see what is written for you. You're going to see. So all what you need is to be patient. One, because you cannot change it. You cannot change it. Or before that, let's make this two. Number one, you cannot know it before it happens. Before it happens. You cannot know it. Look to this disease, swine flu. They say don't go to the house. Why? He doesn't catch swine flu. And subhanAllah, swine flu can be found in the halal, cannot be found in the market. Aren't you going to go to the market? If you're going only to say who, and do work by form from who, and don't buy nothing from the market, see nobody, put yourself in a band like that, in your bedroom, then yes, don't go to halal because you're scared. But if the swine flu can be found in the market, which is the worst places of the ear, why are you so scared to catch it in the haram, which is the best places of the ear? Subhanallah. A swine flu is in a certain place, so we say, yes, the hadith says, do not come out of it, do not get into it. But today it's stuck up everywhere. And people still go travel to the West and come back and they are all scared, alhamdulillah. If Allah decrees that you catch it, you catch it. In the UK, a GP doctor was treating a 7-year-old girl and was in London, and the doctor died. He was treating the girl of swine flu, and he died of swine flu 3 days before she died. Look to the distance. Who can imagine that if this man imagined that he's going to catch it, he would not let this girl to come to his clinic. But he never thought that. And he may have had a vaccination or whatsoever. He must offer the mask and wear gloves and whatsoever. But he died before his patient by 3 days. By the same illness, swine flu. So why all of this scariness? Why? Allah. And patience teaches us. Ramadan teaches us patience. When we stop eating and drinking, and maybe you slip at midnight, planning to awake before Fajr to eat something, but he did not awake until Fajr. So now you cannot eat. So you are so hungry now. Or maybe you cannot eat, you cannot drink because of that. You have to wait until Maghrib. This gives you a lesson of how to be when you are forced by the universal destiny to be in this situation. Meaning to be poor. When you are poor, now from the lesson of hungry and thirsty in Ramadan, if you have the lesson to prepare yourself that whenever you are poor, you are going to be patient like now. Now you are thanking Allah that He commanded you not to eat, not to drink. Anybody of you blaming Allah? Why He commanded you not to eat, not to drink during the time of Ramadan? Anybody is blaming Allah? Anybody is saying, why Ya Allah, why Ya Allah, you make us too fast, why? No one. We were waiting for Ramadan. In the last days of Shaban, you hear people asking, Ramadan is Saturday or Friday? We hope it is Friday. Why? Isn't it a month that people get tired? Yes. They stop their food during the daytime when they are awake, working. They stop their drink. So why do they want it? Because they feel this is good for us. Iman is freedom, faith is freedom, and health also gets with it. So prepare yourself to be pleased with your Lord whenever He puts you in such kind of circumstance. Be poor. Then you prepare yourself to say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. I think that He's pleased with me, Alhamdulillah. And also, by that, you remember those who are poor. And you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah made me poor only from the morning till the evening, till the sunset. I'm poor not because I have no money, but I'm poor because I cannot eat. Like those who cannot eat not because of the time, but because of the poverty. They have no money. They cannot buy the food. And also remember those who are ill. I cannot eat certain food that you like and you eat every day by the sunset. You remember that there are people like that and you may be in that situation. So prepare yourself from now. Say Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. And also, just to make us not to forget our brothers who are poor or who are ill, to include them in our du'a and our supplication, that Allah Ta'ala changes their situation from the worst to the better. And at the end of the first part of the book, I ask Allah Ta'ala to make the month of Ramadan is a month, as a month that purify our curses and manners and take away our and change us from the state of greedy to the state of generosity, to make us generous and kind with the poor people, with the guests, with whomsoever who is in need for our help. And I said what I said and I seek forgiveness from Allah for myself and you. Verily He is all forgiver, all merciful. This was the first khutbah. And the second khutbah, we began by praising Allah, the wali of the Salihin. And wali, by the way, now as many people translated as supporter. No. Wali is the one who loves his wali. And because he loves his wali, he supports his wali. As in the hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, من آذى لي وليا من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. Who sits up in enmity with my wali, I declare war against him. And then he describes, he says, ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب, he says, ما تقرب إلي عبدي بأحب مما اقترفت عليه. And my slave cannot come closer to me with anything better than what I'm in obligation upon him to do. ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل, and my slave will continue coming closer to me by doing the optional deeds of worship. حتى أحبه, up until I love him. Allah loves you. Who are you? That Allah loves you. Who are you? Can you please pass by any way, machine, pass by any scale to weigh yourself? Who are you? That Allah Ta'ala loves you. And you know what is the consequence of that? You know what follows that? When Allah Ta'ala loves you, Allah does not hide it. Allah does not hide it. Allah calls Jibreel, the head of the angels, telling him, O Jibreel, I love this slave so and so. Not only that, not only telling him that he loves him, but Allah commands Jibreel, O Jibreel, love him. From Allah to Jibreel to love you. Would Jibreel stay with that? No. Jibreel would go to the angels. How many they are? 2, 3? No one knows the number except their creator. In this world, and on this earth, you try your best, you may find 1, 2, 3, 10 who love you. Maximum. But there in the heavens, when you are 5th person in the heavens, guess what? No limited number of those who love you. And there's a big difference between those who may love you here, on this earth, and those who love you in the heavens. Doing nothing but all good in the heavens. The angels will love you. Jibreel will call them. Oh angel, he would not say, I am your chief, and I love this, so love. He says, Allah loves so and so, so love him. You all love him. They all would love him immediately. Not only that, in the hadith, the Prophet says, فَيُكْتَبُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ بِالْأَرْضِ. So, him, his deed, his speech, his guidance, his advices would be accepted on the earth of this planet. Would be accepted. People will accept even his enemies who cannot hate him. Even if they show enmity, but yet they cannot hate him. Because the one who has the control of their flesh is the one who has the control of their heart. That's he. He is the one. You cannot control your heart. I challenge any one of you, any doctor, to control the beat of his heart. The thing, you cannot control the law of your heart. It's he, Allah Ta'ala, who puts law for you and the heart of people. When? That is when you are tired. When you struggle against the devil who is in chain now far away from you. When you struggle against your soul, the weak thing. Your soul has no muscles. Your body has a muscle. But yet, your soul beats you all the time. Why? Because the iman is weak. When the iman gets big, more. Because both of them live in the house. One has to go bigger than the other. One has to go bigger than the other. It depends on what food you get. If you give food as good deeds, only the iman goes big. Only the iman goes big. And once the iman goes big, the thought goes small by the pressure. And the space is only enough for one to be big, not for four to be big. Yes, it can't be for four to be small, but yes, you don't find the four small. You don't find the four small. So, we have to work on that. And then I said, وَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. And there is no excessiveness of oppression and punishment except upon those. There is no punishment and excessiveness and punishment except upon those of Britain. These are blessings. We are on our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu and all the Prophets and Messengers at the world, all praise of Allah. Killing a kafir. Killing a kafir who comes to the land of Muslims with permission, this is a major crime, a major sin. A kafir, killing a kafir, whatsoever kafir he is, killing him after he came to the Muslim land with the permission of the Muslim ruler, killing him is a major sin. That in Islam, the punishment for it is that the one who kills him cannot find the smell of the Jannah. Not cannot enter, cannot find the smell of the Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, and the smell of the Jannah is found from so and so distance. Far away. It means that this man would be distant from the Jannah. Do you know what does that mean? In the day of resurrection, there are only three places. Three places. One is the plain land of resurrection. All people are instructed here. On the other side, the Jannah. The Darul Mustaqim. The place of the mercy of Allah. In between them, the fire. In between them, the fire. And no one is going to remain in the plain land of resurrection. No one. Everyone has to go to his place. Either the Jannah or the fire. So when he cannot find the smell of the Jannah, where he is going to be? Where he is going to be as well? Which hostel? In Jahannam, only the fire, in the hellfire, can a kafir who comes with the permission of the Muslim ruler to the Muslim land, killing a kafir. That is the punishment for. What about it when you kill a Muslim? When you kill a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And he who kills a believer intentionally, the punishment of it is the one in the fire and the glazed fire forever. It did not say forever, but Khalid and Fiyah meaning staying in it for a long period. And Allah Ta'ala, and he only gains the anger of Allah and the curse of Allah. And there in the fire, a very severe punishment is prepared for him. Now, this is if he is a regular Muslim, a normal Muslim, a common Muslim. What about when this Muslim from Wulat al-Umur? Wulat al-Umur of two types. Wali al-Amri of two types. This terminology in Arabic and Islam means two kinds of people. The scholar and the ruler. Scholar and the ruler. Who kills one of these, Allah Musta'an, he has put himself in a very bad situation with Allah. He is going to be punished very severely. Very, very severely. And guess what? When this Wali al-Amr, this ruler, is the ruler of a land like this, like Saudi Arabia, where only you see Tawheed, you guys are from outside Saudi Arabia. I'm sorry, maybe I'm praising my country. Maybe people say, because he's Saudi, he's only speaking good of his country. But you guys are the witnesses. And there are many kuffar here, many non-Muslims, and they are the witnesses. Have you ever seen any church, any temple, alhamdulillah, only mosque? Have you ever seen a mosque with a grave in it? No. You may say the mosque of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The mosque of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is different. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wasn't buried in the mosque. He was buried in his house. A mistake from one of the Muslim rulers in the old days. He expanded the masjid from all sides. By that, the grave was in. But other than that place, which the Saudi government has nothing to do with it. When the Saudi government came, the grave of the Prophet is like that. And they can't do nothing with it. They have done their best. They closed it to a certain way, but they can't do nothing. They cannot take the grave out. This is Rasulullah. Other than that place, you don't see any mosque as a grave in it. Any mosque as a grave in it. Yes. Masjid Ibn Abbas in Taif, Ibn Abbas is buried. Ibn Abbas' mosque was small, and he was buried in the graveyard far. When they expanded the masjid, again, it was inside. A mistake, but this was also before the Saudi government came. They now found it to be outside the masjid. Alhamdulillah. They only raised the flag of Tawheed. If you look to the flag of the countries, of the government, you only see one flag as the word, as the statement that people get to this deed, to this religion, with and with nothing else. You may see some people raising a flag saying Allahu Akbar. But Allahu Akbar is not the word that people come to Islam with. It is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And it has what? It has a sword. Which is a punishment of Islam for killing. No any other country do have that. It is only this country. Call it to peace. Call it to Islam. Call it to Tawheed. Calling to the Sunnah, nothing else other than the Sunnah you see here. The ulama passed away. Ibn Ibrahim, the first Mufti. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab. Who can tell me? Where is the grave of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab? In which mosque? Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, which mosque? They are buried in the same graveyard that anybody is buried in. From any country. They are buried in the same place where normal people are buried. Even the king. Show me where is the museum of the grave of King now when you go to Riyadh, you go to the graveyard called Al Aws. And you see, there is no graveyard. No one. Even no sign, no piece of granite written on it, the grave of so and so. Nothing. Nothing. What does that mean? It's the Sunnah. Only the Sunnah. How come such kind of rulers be accused or be killed? They are not perfect. They are not perfect. No one can say that they are perfect. They are mistakes. But how can we see the mistakes? By the hidden advice. Not open advice. Rather to go and kill them. Rather to go and kill yourself for killing them. Subhanallah. You saw sign to kill a Muslim. Saw sign yourself, the punishment for it is the fire. And there is there are different opinions among the scholars. Is he a Muslim or is he out of Islam? Or is he out of Islam? So what happened yesterday, or last night, with Prince Muhammad bin Nahid, the man has opened his gate for people to come and congratulate him for Ramadan. He was told that there is one of the Khawarij, one of the terrorists. He came feeling sorry for what he used to do and intending to repent and change. He said to them, no one checked him, no one accused him. Let him come forth. Look, this shaitan, although the shaitan has changed, but this one is released. This shaitan came to us and insist of thanking Allah Ta'ala for making such kind of rulers that they accept their enemies this beautiful way, not in Guantanamo, they, but in a good way. In good ways, not in Guantanamo Bay. And he wanted to argue, but he asked to blow the bombs of the ark. And said, Alhamdulillah, Allah protected the prince, and only him, this man, who was cut up to 70 pieces. As they say. And that is the punishment in this world. And there is another punishment in the hereafter. There is another punishment in the grave and in the hereafter. When he stands before Allah, answering Allah Ta'ala, why do you want to kill the one who defended my religion? The one who defended my holy law? The one who defended the mosque of the Prophet Sallallahu and beautified them and made them good for my guests to come and visit. Why do you want to kill the one who presented the Quran and spread it all around the world after the Quran was corrupted by many publishers? They decided to spend millions and preserving this book, not to give it to people who either non-Muslims or deviants to change in them. They decided for that purpose. Why do you want to kill one of my slaves who spend days and nights trying to find a way to make these two places, holy mosque, existing, spending all these billions of dollars on building these big buildings near the Haram in Mecca. Forever, even if Al-Saud comes, this building will remain as how they think. Look to these Al-Saud how they think. They are busy. They want to rewind. But they are slipped. When they are in the position, they did not only think about themselves in this world, but they think about themselves even in the grave. They built up this building for that. Even so, where they got lost all the oil and no income, this building would be supplying these two almost by the income. No any single hour of that income goes to their team. It goes only to the mosque, the Holy Mosque. And in Medina, same thing. King Abdullah has big business. Only the income of it is only for the Holy Mosque. So how come you kill these people? You just like something from the mosque. But why you kill them? Who is going to come build under? Who is going to come build under? Do you want to put the ulama, the scholars? The scholars are insulting you, are cursing you, and they are thanking these people because these people are doing good. But then good people at this time are panicking, worried about swine flu. And they say, go to Umrah, not go to Umrah. Go to Hajj, not go to Hajj. Make it even worse by causing no security. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How these people think? And they think that this is something they seek the reward from Allah. What? And these people who Shaitan has wrote on them and covered their minds. These are stupid. These are stupid people. As the Lord Satan said that these are the dogs of the fire. Believe me that there are dogs in the fire. There are dogs of breaking the fire. These ones are the dogs of breaking the fire. So, we have to be careful with these people. What we need to do is to trust them. And instead of supplicating for them, and instead of being emotional with them, these ones are the people of fitna, people of destruction. They don't want any good for another person who was injured yesterday, asking him for some help. Maybe some of them are the relative who's sick, who needs some treatment, and now maybe he's killed. So what this man is going to answer Allah Ta'ala, when you ask him, why you kill the other man? Why you kill this poor person who come to us for help? Oh, I did not manage it. I did not have the business. We have to be careful, therefore. These people are shayateen. As the Prophet said, they leave the enemies of Islam. And they just concentrate on the Muslims. Even with the enemies of Islam, I do not say that to say that what they do, this is not correct. What is correct is to these all be behind the ulama, behind the scholars. Not before them, not that the scholars be their followers. Who they are that the scholars follow them? They should follow the scholars, because the scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the ones who put them down and take their places. These people do not want to do any good to this ummah. These people are only wanting all bad evil for this ummah. May Allah Ta'ala guide the remaining ones of them. All take them and protect the ummah from them. May Allah Ta'ala bring peace to the ummah of Islam and spread Islam in a peaceful way as it is spreading today, alhamdulillah, in the whole world, in the west, in the east, and everywhere. Even by the north pool and south pool, you still see people coming to Islam. Most people are shown Islam correctly, they love it, they like it. Simple. But they don't want that. They don't want Islam as well. They don't want Islam. They want the chair. They want the throne. They want to be big. That's it. That's it. Otherwise, they could have served Islam very easy and beneficial. They could have served Islam. How many Muslims in Africa died for no food? How many of them died on no good Islam? They did not find them going there teaching them Islam. They did not find them going there helping them in their affairs, in their affairs. They just do these things. May Allah Ta'ala protect the Muslim Ummah from them. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. We're supposed to take class today, but again, we're going to inshallah delay. Allah prepared the class, but I'll give you time. Inshallah.